What is up, everybody? Welcome to your monthly Q&A for the month of March. I've got a nice little warm cup of coffee here, and I'm with the one and only Joey Noel. Joey, how are you?
I'm good. Enjoying this GDC week.
It's fun. Hasn't it been interesting and really cool to just have GDC be like GDC again?
Yeah, it's been so fun just to like have people in and out of the office. I feel like this week it's just been like fun people, like even having Carboni here
Carboni.
For Star Wars.
It's funny though. I don't remember Carboni being invited per se. I think he just kind of shows up now.
No, but he did email or he did reply to like one of Andy's Instagrams that he posted and said, "I'm gonna come over and knock shit off your desk." So I feel like he was just announcing his presence.
Well, I think that's how it works, right? If you've been a guest here before, if you've been invited here before, obviously you're more than welcome to come back and mess with Andy.
Yeah.
So that's
and there's
acceptable.
So many things to knock off of Andy's desk.
It's just so many wrappers of Belvita breakfast sandwich things or whatever that is. No, go away, software update. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Cool. So I feel like it's been a fun week, and we want to answer some of your questions. And obviously, if you're watching this, you're already a patron, so I don't have to sell you on that platform.
Mm-hmm.
You get it. You're one of the few, one of the proud, one of the beautiful. Let's kick it off with Sean, a.k.a. Shabe Raven.
Oh, yeah.
Like Shade, but with a B. Shade Raven, what's going on? Says, Nick, what was the hardest thing for you to learn to do in regards to the administrative business minutiae, great use of that word, that you do at KF? And then he has a question for Joey as well, which we'll answer in a second. Pretty much the entire administrative aspect of it was something that was not within my realm of expertise coming into this. I came from a hardcore production background. So production budgeting, production pipelines, things like that were in my wheelhouse. Trying to figure out, you know, how to fill out all the crap that goes along with the city taxes and state and stuff like that. That was stuff where I had to bring in other people.
Even and then like just establishing as like a company, right?
Yeah, I mean, getting the company registered as a corporation, getting figuring out an accounting pipeline, figuring out how to keep all that running, and then just understanding what all the stuff that goes along with that was a pretty big learning curve for me. And I'm still learning. You know, there's stuff that happens all the time where it's like, what happens when you hire an employee that works half a year in New York and half a year in California? And it's like, oh, there's some stuff you have to do with that. Easy stuff, but stuff that you have to know, and you don't know what you don't know until you know it.
Yeah.
I guess is a way to look at it. So that's been fun. And that's been a challenge. And I'm happy to do that stuff because I think that takes a lot. I mean, I don't think Greg would ever. I mean, Greg would just be like this. Everyone just Greg. If it were up to Greg, he'd put a big pot of money in the middle and be like, everyone just go help yourself.
Take what you need. That.
And I'd be like, well, if people need to file taxes. You know, they got to pay your taxes. So we got to figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
Next question goes to Joey. Joey, if you had free reign to make any show you wanted on KF, regardless of budget, what would it be? And then in quotations, I say regardless of budget because I assume you actually do have free reign to make any show you want if it's within budget.
I know exactly what I would do
if
we didn't have a budget. It would be a companion podcast to a podcast. I forget. Somebody tweeted me like the perfect name for it, and I can't remember what it is. But I would want to rank all of the various attractions at theme parks
that we've
done like within review essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So like Pixar in review would be like we would have so much stuff to rank.
Yeah, 100%.
For like the Finding Nemo ride and all of that stuff, the Guardians like all of that stuff. I essentially just want an excuse to go to all of these cool theme parks and ride all the rides and hang out and make content out of it.
We can brainstorm. I would call it park hopping with
park
Joey.
Hopping. Oh.
Park Ranger.
Oh my gosh, then it gets to be
Rangers.
A little park
that'd be
ranger.
Cool. Well, yeah, that'd be fun.
And then I would also use that to somehow maybe I guess it probably wouldn't be hard within review and the way that Universal does Hollywood Horror Nights to then make like Andy and maybe our friend Josh McCuga go through some of the scary mazes
That's
during
a great
October.
Idea.
Probably Mike too, because he's equally as jumpy as those two. And
so
then just
true.
Stick some cameras on them, see what happens.
Just put a little GoPro on their head and just watch them scream at each other.
Oh, Nick and I on the outside listening to the audio, laughing. This is the best.
Just the dream.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Ingestibility asks the next question. Ingestibility, excuse me, asks the next question. Says, hi, all. Love the show. So I got laid off after 3 years working at a game company. What do I do now? I have 8 weeks of severance. Part of me is just anxious about the future. Part of me wants to chill. Anyways, have you ever been in a similar situation, and what did you do? Thanks. Keep up the great work. Have you ever been laid off?
Yeah. That was right before I worked at Kinda Funny.
Yeah.
Because I started part-time in January, and then in March I got laid off. And I was stressed because it was all stressful on all levels. And it was like funny because you guys had just talked to me about a full-time job, but I was like, I don't know if I can do it and move and all that stuff. And then I had to come back to you guys and be like, hey, remember that thing that I said no to right now a couple weeks ago? What if we revisited that? And that was like really embarrassing. So I would say give yourself some time to like just for you, like recover. Because I know that that can be like kind of like a traumatizing experience and a lot of stress and stuff, so I would say take some time for you, but then if you liked what you do, I guess that makes life easier because you kind of know what you want to do. But if you're kind of floundering, just taking some time, I like to journal and like get all the things out. Makes it, I feel like it's a little bit cathartic to get to not hold it all inside all the time, you know.
I think it's very important.
And just like kind of use the time to focus on what you want to do, because like if you want to hop ships to something else, even if it's something else within like games or whatever, this is kind of the time to hunt around and try and find out what that is and make a move on it.
Yeah, I think that's a good, I think you have 8 weeks and take that time to really kind of enjoy what's going to come next and try to find that thing. And I think that obviously you're going to have some anxiety about it. The only time I've ever been laid off was I got laid off from when I was serving food after college at, in the Irvine Spectrum. I was like, we just came into work one day and they were like, here's your check. No severance, no nothing, no prior notice. We just, it was done. And that was a really shitty feeling. So it's nice that your employer at least gave you severance. I'm sure it's, you know, it's of little consolation to you. But if you have that 8 weeks, you know, you could look at it as an opportunity to have something really positive happen to you and find the next job that might be even better. So that's good. And also get a massage. That's what I recommend. Get that.
Sounds good.
Jared R. Meyer says, Nick, I have to imagine with the studio being completed and everything being mostly settled, you have a lot more time to focus on other things.
The studio is a constant project for Nick and Kevin.
Yeah, the studio is the upkeep on the studio right now is between all of us a very big pain in the ass, largely because we're having massive storms that are happening. And so Kevin and I are sort of triaging one issue out of after another. But
did you get the phone call yesterday or was it Kevin about the water coming in under the door?
Both of us got the phone call yesterday.
We had like sideways rain all day yesterday. So it was like coming in the, under the doors. And
to put it in context, like even in the city of San Francisco, we've had so much rain that it's peeling the paint off of buildings. Which, and this is exterior paint. I mean, paint's like designed to not come off during rainstorms. And everywhere I look in San Francisco, paint is just like being ripped off by the wind and by the sheer just volume of saturation. So it's been a little, it's taken a little bit more of my attention than I had hoped. But let me read the rest of your question before I answer. Has there been anything else, anything either personally or professionally, you've started to put that freed up attention to? No, I haven't really had too much more free time beyond that. And anything that I do have was taken up with, you know, filing taxes and doing all that stuff for the beginning of the year. It's all the stuff you have to kind of do. But I have been doing a lot more comedy at night just to push myself. So that's
You've been on
been
the
fun.
Grind.
Yeah, I did Cobbs and I've been putting my time into Punchline. So my goal really is to get past at a comedy club this year and really kind of open that up as another vertical for me here at Kind of Funny to be able to kind of bring that back to the table, maybe schmooze with some comics and stuff like that. So that's the goal. And then he asks, or they ask rather, as your baby, and Joey, I've always loved seeing, hearing you on content. I think you provide such a fresh voice slash perspective whenever you pop onto things. I don't know if there's something you'd want to do, but if you were forced to produce and host a new weekly show, what would you want it to be and how would you format it?
What would I want it to be and what would I format it with? I feel like it would be similar to Internet Explorers, but different. In terms of, like, what are the weird things that are trending.
That's what I want. What I want from everyone right now is Joey tells us what's the tea. What's the tea? What's the hot goss? I want to know the streamer goss. I want to know the goss for the Vanderpumps. I want a show, you, me, Joe, and Snowbike Mike.
Yeah.
Just to go through whatever the stupid internet drama of the day is happening. Now, I know Tim's going to put the kibosh on this. Because he's going to go, Nick's not going to understand what he's talking about. He's going to piss everyone off and he's going to offend everyone. But in that space, there's some magic.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there, even if it's just like the weird, talking about, I think about, you're not on TikTok, so we're probably going to have to talk about these things like months later when they get to Instagram.
So here's the thing. I'm on TikTok, but I only watch Puppies and Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, so good. But like when we talk about things like West Elm Caleb and the Couch Guy, like all of these videos that people have like such interesting takes on, those are the conversations that I think are interesting of like, hey, this guy is kind of crappy, but is it like, I don't think it's as bad as, like, people doxing him. Right. And, like, just, like, all these different interpersonal windows that we get eyes into on social media, I think is so interesting to have some little conversations about that. And Vanderpump falls into that. I think the streamer stuff is really interesting. Like, that's what Mike and I end up connecting on a lot of, like,
the streamer stuff.
Talking about Atrioc and, like, all of that whole stuff and the, like, AI porn stuff and, like, just all of these weird technological things that, like, we have to deal with now that just have not been around for very long. So everyone's kind of trying to figure out how to navigate them.
Yes.
I think that would be really interesting.
There's a lot of that stuff out there. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, we could talk about that on the main podcast, but it's better to talk about fruit. let's see. Mitchell G. Key says, hey, Joey and Nick, I was just wondering if you guys still have plans to release some photos of the Patreon name wall in the studio. It's obviously been shown a little bit on the stream and stuff, but I'd love to get a chance to find my name, as I'm sure many others would do as well. Thanks for everything you do.
Did we say we were putting out pictures?
I don't remember ever doing that. I think Cool G was taking pictures of random things from people who were tweeting at him. But, yeah, I don't know that we had any plans to do that. But I assure you, your name is on the wall.
It is. There's so many names on the wall.
So many names on the wall.
In the very far-fetched future, when we figure out how to get people in the studio for some live
things. Yeah, we'll figure that out.
In the very far-fetched future, let's say. We got a lot of stuff we got to figure out before we can figure out how to do live events here.
Oh, my God.
I still think that that'll be really fun for people to, like, be here and hunt for their name.
Yeah, it'll be a fun little Easter egg hunt for everyone.
Also, there are so many names on there that I feel like even just getting high-res enough pictures of, like, this space in order to do that.
You won't be able to see the names. Hard. It would have to be, like, a 8K or 10K image of whatever's going on. And even then, you'd have to, I don't know. The thing about the names is that they are quite small on the wall because we had thousands of people to put on there. And I had to duplicate names and stuff. It was a whole, that name wall was a project and a half.
I know.
And I'm super proud of how it turned out. And I'm super happy to have done it. And obviously, we're super happy that all you guys came out and helped us do it. So we're happy to put your names up there. But that's one of those projects where I'm like, that's super cool. And now that I know how to do it, I'm like, we could do another wall. If we had like 7,000 more people, we could do another. We could do the whole
studio. What if we just put it on this wall?
Well, we tried to do it on that wall. It was a whole thing. I'll tell everyone right now. We'll pull the curtain aside.
Yeah.
We were gonna have it stenciled on. And then someone was like, that's going to take 6 years. And I was like, cool. We don't have that kind of time.
No.
Then I was like, what if we had, I think it was Nick over at Campfire, helped, came in and made a big graphic out of all of them. And it was a whole rigmarole because there's a whole bunch of stuff with this wall that you wouldn't think of. Scaling names, adding more, all this stuff to get it to fit.
He was
perfectly
having a hard time even rendering it just based on like how much typeface there is.
It was freaking wild. And then we had it put on this wall. And then I went out. I was like, cool, here's the graphic. Took it to a company to have it wrapped because we wanted to have the wall wrapped. And they were like, cool, no problem. Looked at it. We're like, we can't do that. It's not going to look right. The names are – there's too many names to actually line up. It's all going to look all cattywampus. So then I finally went back to my brother, and I was like, can you just have this printed on massive sheets of vinyl so we can then affix them to the wall? And he ended up having that done, which was the –
We looked at fabric. So many things.
Yeah, so we
– even panels. Like
panels, yes. And it ended up being in perfect us fashion. The simplest – solution was the best solution, which you should always go from. If you're in production right now, simplest, usually the best solution. That ended up being really easy and turned out really beautiful. So it's one of those things where it's like, now we have that in our arsenal. I know how to print vinyl stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully you guys will be able to see that soon. Kevin L. said, do you have any routines to help you get ready to be on content? If so, what are they? Oof.
I
try to get as much coffee at me as humanly possible beforehand. And then, if possible, I like to get a coffee delivered while I'm on the content. Just to have something to look forward to when Greg starts waxing poetic about what he wants, like dying and having people put him in his will.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of depends on what the content is. Shockingly, which I honestly do think people would be shocked by, is like, I take notes for interview. I know that Tim does. I think Andy just has much better memory than either of us. And you obviously do when you're doing the plot and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I take copious notes. So I have 5 pages of plot-by-plot notes.
So I try and, like, kind of plan what I'm going to say, even though I'm sure it never comes off that way because my brain just starts going. But I feel like the podcast is the one that I prep for the least because even when we, like, have something planned for, like, what we're going to talk about on the podcast, it's never that.
Never goes.
It always just tangents. So it's a little bit hard. But I didn't realize it until I started being on more content that what Greg says, at least for me, is totally right. That, like, I just black out and, like, don't really remember what, like, specifics of what we talk about. Like, I remember, like, the general topics. Mm-hmm. But, like, once I'm off camera, I'm just like, oh, that was time that passed and I don't remember anything.
To me, that's the perfect podcast. And honestly, like, look, if you're talking about a more serious subject, or if you're talking about, you know, game news or something like that, you probably have to prep a little bit. But when you're going into a podcast like the Kind of Funny podcast, I think the most important thing is, like, are you bringing a good vibe to the podcast?
Yeah.
And then if everyone's keeping the conversation going, like, you know it's good when you walk away. You're like, I don't even know what the hell we talked about, but I laughed for an hour and 15 minutes. And that's, to me, those are the best. That's what that podcast should be.
Yeah. And I love the, like, post-podcast discussion of, like, what are we going to name this? And what kind of thumbnail is Andy going to make for this?
That's my favorite part.
That's part of the fun stuff. And a lot of that, too, comes from, like, the way that Kevin takes time codes that makes me laugh. Just, mm-hmm. like, the way that he categorizes how we talk about things. I think that helps, too. But, yeah, a lot of times it's just vibes.
Yeah.
Which is not
helpful.
You got
to get the vibes in. I mean, it is and it isn't. And that's one thing I'll say is, like, cultivating a vibe for the content is something that I pay special attention to. And when it's off, you can tell. And so that's the thing for me is, like, having everyone kind of come in with a good energy and be committed to the bits or whatever we're doing, I think is incredibly important. And when everyone gels, it really makes this fun, magical, you know, hour and a half of silliness that goes by that I think can be really entertaining. Not to say you can have that every single time. And sometimes you just got to talk about news or talk about something more serious. But those are my favorite moments when we do stuff.
Yeah.
So that's that. Spectrum Surplus says, hey, Nick and Joey, congratulations on the GD3 stream. That was such a great opportunity y'all gave to those devs, and I cannot wait to play the games that are shown. My question is, what are some dishes you have been offered in the past and declined thinking? Wait, I want to make sure I read this whole question. Did I miss anything? It might have gone off the thing. Oh. But declined thinking you wouldn't like it, but have not had the chance to try again. Are there any missing meals you'd wish you'd given a fair shot? Thanks for everything you both do. No, I usually try everything that's put in front of me. I had a moment, like, I think in my early 20s where I just, like, was like, holy shit, broccoli can be good. And ever since then, I was like,
that was the one that changed it.
Yeah, I should try everything. I try everything. There are very few foods that I don't like. I'll say I don't go in for a lot of bougie shit. So if it's like, if someone's like, I'm going to put some foam on this, I'm like, you can hold the foam.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I'm not into a lot of that stuff, too. But in terms of, like, weird stuff, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm pretty adventurous just because I'm half Japanese. So, like, kind of by nature, I grew up eating stuff that, like, people, I think, generally think is weird. But, like, uni, like sea urchin and stuff like
that. Sea urchin's always the one. Yeah. That might be the one thing that I'm like, I tried once, I was like, this is gross, and I never came back to it.
Yeah. I will say that, like, the one thing that, like, my grandma eats that I've never tried and, like, kind of avoid is durian, just because it's like a really pungent smelling fruit that kind of just smells like death.
Is that like the dragon fruit?
No.
There's one fruit that was in Thailand. I think it was either in Thailand or Morocco. I think it was Thailand, where they cut open it, and I was like, who pooped?
That might be durian, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it smells like poop. And yeah, I'm like, I don't want to eat anything that smells like poop.
Yeah, and then the other thing that my grandma eats all the time that I'm not really into is natto, which is like fermented mung beans, maybe, that like when you mix mung them, beans. they have these like, it almost looks like marshmallow, like those stringiness of it, that also does not smell great. But I feel like I should just try it. I feel like that's just one of those like holdovers from like being a kid that I'm just like, I don't want that.
That was me. That was me and sweet potatoes, and now I love sweet potatoes. Love them yams.
But, like, in terms of, like, other meal kind of stuff, I guess I'm, like, not really into, like, super gamey meat, so I kind of avoid those, but that's because I've tried them and I just know that I don't like them. Yeah.
And final question for today comes from Streamer Rig. It says, hey, Nick and Joey, my question is for Nick specifically. Nick, how has your life changed since you got to see Greg's lightsaber nude? I imagine it must have sent your life into a whirl. You know, believe it or not, my life did not change a whole lot.
So you don't categorize your life into like
epics, like moments before that and before, yeah. No, I seeing Greg's nude butt with a lightsaber really didn't faze me at all. I've seen Greg's, I could probably post, like, you know, piece together mental images of Greg's body throughout the years that I've seen and probably almost have the entire picture.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, Greg and I have been working together for, like, 12 or 13 years, something like that, maybe even longer, 15 years. So I've seen him, shirtless on a bed. I've seen him in his underwear. I've seen him every various states of undress. So would I have liked just a skosh of a heads up beforehand? You know, going back to the prior question of how to prepare for a podcast, maybe you tell your co-host that you're going to show him a nude. But I think he wanted the honest-to-God reaction from me, and that's what he got. And as an artist to another fellow artist, you know, good for you. You did – you got the emotion out of me, and I appreciate that. Don't know that I need to see it again, though.
Yeah. You don't want it to be like an annual thing?
I mean, he could do a spread. That's totally fine. But at a certain point, like – you know, at a certain point, I think I'm okay. I think – I think if you're going to make a calendar out of it, let's just do January and the rest of the months are going to be blank.
Yeah.
That works.
We make that happen.
Folks, that has been your Q&A for this month. Thank you so much for writing in. And thanks so much for caring. We appreciate it. It's always our pleasure to be able to kind of sit here and answer some one-on-one questions with you. Joey, any final words?
I think that's it. These are fun because I feel like you and I don't do content like
we
this.
We don't. Ever. And when we do, it's because we're like, please come on the podcast right now. And you go, I don't want to do that.
And then go, Tim and I just hijack it and talk about reality TV.
That was a great episode of the podcast. And I want you guys to know, here's a little fun story for you. We'll end with this one. I had to call one Gia, Tap Harris. Mm-hmm. Tried to FaceTime Tim. He refused to answer the phone. Of Smart. Course. Called Gia. She answered. She was on the treadmill at their house. Mm-hmm. Walk in. And she goes, what's up?
She answered a FaceTime from you?
She did because she trusts me. And I said, hey, Gia, I just want you to know I blame you for this. And I turned the camera around as my wife was catching up on Vanderpump.
Yes.
And I'm like, you've brought this into my household. You've brought this rot and this darkness into my household, and I'll never forgive you. And she just laughed and hung up on me.
I love it.
Yeah.
Vanderpump train.
Oh,
I love
God,
it.
She's back on it. And it's just – it's a whole vibe in my house. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We will see you next month.